Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today, Rick continues teaching a series called Connecting with God, the Lord's Prayer. In these lessons, Rick shows you what it means to truly be spiritually connected to God and to each other through the power of God's love and God's Word. In just a little while, we're going to tell you how to get the Lord's Prayer Words of Hope and Happiness gift book. This life-giving resource will help you strengthen the hope of the children you love by introducing them to the Lord's Prayer. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called The Prayer of Dependence.
Number two, second thing it means to depend on God is it means trusting Him for today. For today, not for next week, not for next year, not for next month, just one day at a time. God says, I want to make this real simple. I want you to take life in bite-sized pieces, 24-hour increments. I want you to trust me just for today. Notice, the Bible does not say, give us this day our monthly bread. It doesn't say, give us this day our annual bread. It doesn't even say like a paycheck, give us this day our weekly bread. And it's interesting that since the 50s, bread has been a synonym for money. You got any dough? You got any money? You got any bread? Okay, so bread and dough, give us this day our daily dough, you know? It's to be daily, not monthly, annually, weekly. God says, I want you to trust me one day at a time. I'm not asking you to trust me for the rest of your life, just one 24-hour increment. We'll worry about tomorrow, and we'll worry about next week, and we'll worry about next month. I don't want you worrying about that. In fact, I don't want you worrying at all. I want you to take it one day at a time. Now, how do you do that? How do you trust God just for today? Give us today our daily bread. How do you do that? Well, there are four things that you do to trust God on a daily basis. And it just so happens that those four things are all covered in one scripture. It's Philippians 4, 6 and 8. It's on the back of your outline. It's a very important verse, so I want us to read it aloud together. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, thanking Him for all He has done, and fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about these things that are pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and worthy of praise. Now, in this passage, he gives us the four steps to trusting God for today. And here they are. The first thing, you might write this down, he says, worry about nothing. That's the first step. Worry about nothing. He said, I don't want you worrying about anything. Don't worry about anything. Now, let me be very frank with you, very blunt. Friends, this is the hardest command in the Bible to obey. Don't worry about anything. It's the hardest command in the Bible to obey. Don't worry about anything. You know, there's some commands in the Bible I just don't find that hard, you know, to obey. When the Bible says, don't murder, that's not a big deal to me. You know, I don't find that very difficult to obey. Okay, don't murder. It's just not that hard. When the Bible says, don't commit adultery, I don't find that particularly hard. I mean, when you're married to Kay Warren, poof, you know. But this one, yeah, don't worry. You break this one 6 or 8 times a day, okay? You get all worried about it. Now, why is worry such a big deal? And why does God say, I don't want you worrying? You may have never realized this. Worry is not just a bad habit. It's a flat-out sin. Worry is a sin. Why? Because it is an insult to God. Every time you worry, you're saying, God, I don't believe your promises. God, I don't really believe you love me. God, I don't believe you'll take care of me. God, I don't believe you'll meet all my needs. Father, I don't believe you're going to take care of me and do all the things you've promised to do. It is an insult to God. If my kids, when they were small, came to me and said, Dad, we're worried about the house. You guys don't have to worry about it. I'm going to pay for the house. Dad, we don't think you can do that. And Dad, we're worried about whether we're going to have a meal tonight. Don't worry about it. I got to take care. Dad, we don't think you're competent to take care of that. That would be an insult to me. If my kids worried that I couldn't take care of them, I would be insulted. And God is insulted when you worry. It's saying, God, I don't really believe you. When you worry, you are acting like an orphan. You're acting like you don't have a spiritual father in heaven who cares, who said, I will give you whatever you need if you'll trust me and you'll ask, if you'll depend on me. You're acting like a spiritual orphan. Do you know what worry is? Worry is the practical expression of atheism. You're acting like an atheist every time you worry. I don't believe God will keep his promises. I don't believe that God will take care of me. I believe I have to figure this out myself. You're acting like an atheist, and God is offended. And so he says, don't worry about anything. In fact, look at this verse. The Bible says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Now, every time God gives a negative, don't do this, he always follows it with a positive. Do this instead. Don't do this, do this. And when he says, worry about nothing, the next thing he says is this, pray about everything. He says, here's the alternative. I don't want you worrying. I want you praying. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Everything? Yep. Every single thing. God says, here's what you can do in life. You got two choices. You can worry or you can pray. And every day you're doing one of the others. And every time you worry, you're not praying. And every time you pray, you're not worrying. So you got two choices. You can either pray or panic. Or you can worry, or you can worship. And you're always going to be doing one or the other in life, talking to God about it or talking to yourself. Now, worry has never solved the problem. It's never solved a single problem. It's stewing without doing. It's like sitting in a rocking chair. A lot of motion, but no forward action. Worry has never solved any problem. It is the most useless emotion. But prayer can change things. If you prayed as much as you worry, if you prayed about all the things you worry about, you'd have a lot less to worry about. Those are your alternatives. He says, worry about nothing. Instead, pray about everything. Everything? Yeah, literally. There's nothing you can't pray about. Look at this verse, Romans 8:32. Since God did not spare even his own son for us, in other words, he sent Jesus to die for us, since God did not spare even his own son to die for us, but he gave him up for all of us, won't he also surely give us everything else? God solved your biggest problem when he sent Jesus to die for you. Your biggest problem was getting you into heaven, paying for all your sins, righting all your wrongs, earning your forgiveness. And when Jesus died for you, if God loved you enough to send Jesus to die for you, don't you think he loves you enough to take care of all these other problems? Every other problem in your life is small potatoes after salvation. Once he's come and saved you, everything else is insignificant by comparison. So he's saying, don't worry, pray about everything. And if God cared enough to die for you, then he's going to care enough to take care of all your needs. Pray about everything. Third thing he says in this verse is he says, thank God in all things. Thank God in all things. In all things, he says, give thanks. Now, circle the word in. Because remember, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. It doesn't say for all things, give thanks. It says in all things, give thanks. You don't have to be thankful for bad things in your life. You should never be thankful for evil. You don't have to be thankful for cancer or a car accident or rape or a war or abuse or any of those other bad things in life. That would be sick. God doesn't say be thankful for everything. There's a lot of things that we hate in life, we dislike in life. But God says, in everything, give thanks. Why? Because I know God's going to take care of me. I know he's going to meet my needs. I know he's going to help me. I know that if I don't worry, but I trust him, I see him as my source, and I trust him one day at a time, he's going to take me through this. So I thank God in all things. And then there's the fourth thing that you do. Think about the right thing. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Thank God in all things. Think about the right thing. Whatever you put your mind on is what's going to get you. You fill your mind with worries, you're going to be down, depressed, discouraged, defeated. You fill your mind with the right things, you're going to be lifted up, hopeful, encouraged, and positive. Think about the right things. Now notice, he tells us, so gives us a list of things to think about. He says, fix your thoughts on what's true, honorable, right, what's pure and lovely and admirable, what's excellent, what's worthy of praise. Where do you find things that are pure and lovely to think about? At the movies? I don't think so. No, that's not pure and lovely at the movies. On television? No, I don't think so. Where are you going to find pure and lovely and honorable thoughts? Right here in the truth of God. The more you fill your mind with this book, the more you're going to be at peace. You need to read it, study it, memorize it, buy the Bible on CD, listen to it. Any way you can get it into your life, you fill your mind, you flood your mind. Because in your mind, you've got this scale. And on one side is all the bad things that the world is telling you. And on the other side is all the good things that the Word is telling you. And you're going to base your life on the world or the Word. The world or the Word. And if you listen, if you spend more time reading the paper than God's Word, guess what you're going to do? You're going to be more negative because it's filled with bad news. You read the bad news or the good news. God says, fill your mind with the Word of God. You've got to get into the Word. The Bible says this up here on the screen, Isaiah 26. He, God, will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in him, whose thoughts turn often to the Lord. Do your thoughts turn often to the Lord? Or do you only think about him on Sundays? Where do your thoughts turn most often? To sex? To People magazine? To making money? To impressing other people? What do you think about the most? God says, if you want to have peace in the middle of tough times, you got to think about the Word. Now, there's a third key to depending on God. I see him as my source. It all comes from him. It's all a gift. I trust him one day at a time. I worry about nothing. I pray about everything. I thank him in all things, and I keep my mind on the right thing. And the third thing, this is very important, I share whatever he supplies. Trusting God, depending on God, means sharing whatever he supplies. Sharing whatever he supplies. When God gives you something, I'm telling you, he always wants you to share it with everybody else. Everything God gives to you, he wants you to share it. Notice, it doesn't say, give me this day my daily bread. It said, give us this day our daily bread. We're to share it. We are to share it. Why does God want you to share it? He wants you to learn to be like him. God shares everything he's got with you. God is generous. God so loved the world that he gave. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And God says, I want you to become like me. I want you to be loving, and I want you to learn how to share. Now, how do you spell love? You spell love G-I-V-E. Love is all about giving. Lust is all about getting. Love is all about giving. When you say to somebody in a Valentine's card, I need you, I want you, I've got to have you. Sorry, that's not love. That's lust. Love is, what can I do for you? How can I meet your needs? What can I give to you? Lust is all about, I need you, I want you, I gotta have you, I can't exist without you. That's about me. Love is unselfish, it's about you. You see, most love songs aren't really love songs at all. They're lust songs. I once did a study on VH1 and on the Rolling Stone magazine, the top 500 love songs. And I went through the list, and about half of them aren't even love songs. They're lust songs. You gotta give it to me. Give it to me now. I want it, I gotta have it, and if you don't give it, I'm gonna take it. Rock on. You see, I'm really just a frustrated rock star. I know. That's not a love song, I hate to tell you that, but, you know, we're going to party all night and you're going to give it to me. That is a lust song. It has nothing to do with the other person. It has all to do without meeting your needs. Now, God says, I want you to learn to love, and love is all about sharing. Give us today our daily bread. Now, God wants you to learn to trust him, and one of the ways you learn to trust him is by sharing. You see, God is testing you every day of your life. God puts you on this planet, and the entire time you're on this planet, God is testing you to see your reaction. And he's testing you in many different ways, but one of the things he's testing you for is, how much will you trust God? How much will you depend on God? And the number one way God tests your faith, you know what it is? Money. Finances. It's the number one way God tests. Are you going to worry? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to worry about your finances? Or are you going to trust me? Are you going to be stingy? Or are you going to share? Are you going to hold on and hoard because you're afraid you're not going to get any more? Or are you going to be open and generous with people around you who are in need? God is testing you. He wants you to learn to be like him. Now, the problem is, the more money you've got, I hate to tell you this, but it's true, the less you depend on God. You see, you don't depend on God when you can just go charge it. You don't ever pray about it. You just go buy it. You got a big bank account. The more money you've got, the less you depend on God. You depend on your bank account. You depend on your checkbook. You depend on your investments. It's why the Bible says it is more difficult for a rich man to get into heaven than for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. Why does he say that? Because money is bad? No, not at all. Some of the greatest saints in history were quite wealthy. Why is it? Because the more money you have, the less you tend to depend on God. You tend to depend on your bank account. That's why the Bible says that the poor, God has chosen to be rich in faith. Why? Because you don't know God's all you need till God's all you got. The greatest people of faith that I've met in life, none of them live in America. None of them. Because when you don't have anything, you're dirt poor. You don't have a house, you don't have clothes, you don't have food, you're dependent on God for your daily bread. We're not at that level of dependence. And yet God says, I want you to trust me, and I'm testing you to see how much you'll depend on me. And I'm testing to see whether you will share what I supply to you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time in just a moment, but first, perhaps the most important role you can play in the life of a child is teaching them to trust God through prayer. It's the key to living with hope. Jesus said we should always pray and never give up. That's why it's so important to strengthen the hope of children. by introducing them to Jesus' model for prayer at an early age. With this in mind, we're excited to tell you about a very special resource to help you do just that. It's called The Lord's Prayer, Words of Hope and Happiness. This book brings the poetic scripture of the King James Version of the Bible to life. Readers young and old will enjoy thoughtful insights from New York Times bestselling author, Pastor Rick Warren, and stunning illustrations by award-winning artist, Richard Jesse Watson. It's sure to become a meaningful bedtime ritual, a treasured memory, and a lasting legacy that bears good fruit for generations to come. The Lord's Prayer, Words of Hope and Happiness, is the perfect way to share the beauty and richness of the Lord's Prayer with the children the Lord has placed in your life, and we'll send it to you when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the good news to people everywhere. Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
I want you to listen to this testimony from a listener in Monterrey, Mexico. Jonas Alvarez writes, "Hi there, Pastor Rick. My name is Jonas Alvarez, and I'm an English teacher in Monterrey, Mexico. I listen to Daily Hope every day by podcast, and it has profoundly enriched my life. I recommend to my students to listen to it and to practice their English skills." Hey, that's a great idea. "And I know for sure that if they do, they're going to get much more than just learning English. Thank you so very much. Sincerely, Jonas." Well, thanks for writing, Jonas. My prayer is that Daily Hope will bring the hope that we find in Jesus to your students, just as we're praying that it brings hope to people all around the world. By the way, did you notice how Jonas is sharing Daily Hope podcast with his students? I think that's a great idea. My question to you is, who are you sharing the Daily Hope podcast with? Who could you tell about this good news? You know, good news is so good, we can't keep it to ourselves. You got to share it. So if you shared Daily Hope with somebody else, would you let me know about it? Write me. You know the address, rick@pastorrick.com. It's just rick@pastorrick.com. And tell me your story of how you're sharing Daily Hope with other people.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed your life, please write it at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.